Busted pencils, fully lighted, education talk, educators talking, talking education, classes in session, Johnny Lupinacci, that's Dr. Jacob, the chairman of the boards, and me, Dr. Tim Slecker. We are here. Man, lots going on. I'm just going to tease this one because there's not enough that we want to be talking about it yet until there's more details. But there have been six programs from the Federal Department of Education that have been taken out of the Department of Education and put into other agencies. The details, that's breaking news coming out right now. So is special education now part of the Department of Education, or is it, probably somewhere, like international affairs or something like that, where they'll give it? No, the news is, Trump's making true on his promise of dismantling the Department of Education. What it sounds like is dismantling is, we're going to have all the programs. We're just going to put them other places. I don't know. So that's what's going on. Johnny, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. We're in the thick of it. We're about to go on the Thanksgiving break soon, and the college semester is coming to a very fast finish shortly after that break. So it's busy days here on campus. I didn't get everything done I needed to get done. How can I get some extensions or some supports in place? And of course, as a teacher teaching teachers, we're accommodating. We understand that things pile up, and sometimes you have to loop back around and complete missing assignments or figure out a good game plan for ending the semester. So long days here in the classroom. There's an echo because the students have I'm alone in my classroom.
I thought you might be doing class from like the university or the Washington State University spelunking club in some.
No, I'm actually, in my classroom on the third floor of a wonderful building that, has high ceilings. And when you take all of the bodies out of it, it gets quite echoey. So, listener, you get to experience what after class hours is like here on campus for me.
Lupinacci with some office hours. That's what we love to see. Yeah, Jake, sure. I got to check in with my man, Jacob. Jacob, how is is all well in your world?
All's well that goes well, Tim. I'm excited because, you can listen to a lot of education shows out in the world, okay? I'm sure there are hundreds, if not millions, of podcasts about education, broadly speaking. But how many of them bring you the authentic experience of being a teacher like Busted Pencils does? We've got Johnny. He's in a fish tank. He's living a teacher's life. And you make it work. And that's what's so great about Busted Pencils.
And the other thing Johnny just said, he's a teacher teaching teachers to teach. That's like educators talking education. And when Johnny's not an educator talking education, he's a teacher teaching teachers to teach. You see that? See, I got that, man. Nothing. Yeah, man.
Then with tongue twister Tim today.
Hey, I got it all. But, classes in session and, two news stories. In fact, though, Johnny, it is nice to see that you are actually in a classroom where you claim that you do the job of teaching. Well, the University of Wisconsin system, this just came out today, the Cap Times. In fact, I'll read the headline. University of System faculty balk at legislature's teaching workload requirements. When lawmakers passed a new state budget this year, they approved $256 million increase for funding the University of Wisconsin's public universities. But hey, that money came with strings attached, and that would be faculty. You now are required to teach. You're sitting there going like, what's the catch? Well, and Johnny's going to help us understand this, but Johnny, the University of Wisconsin system under what is, let me just make sure that I get the name of what this is called. Tony Evers lawsuit, you know, of course, lots of lawsuits, but I'll find it. Legislature says 12 credits of teaching is mandatory now if you work for the University of Wisconsin. And I can hear a lot of people out there going, wow, that ain't much. And they're moaning about teaching 12 credits. Johnny, help us understand what it means to be a full-time faculty member under a 12-credit mandatory teaching load.
Well, Tim, I'm not familiar with all the specifics of what's happened at the University of Wisconsin. So just hearing that, my initial questions is that per semester? Are they on quarters? Is that 12 at a time? Or is that 12 over the course of their contract, which many, most professors are on what we call either a 9 or 10 month contract, which is like the academic school year. You know, typically universities with semester, that's like fall semester and either winter or spring, if you call it that, but it's, you know, August to December and then January to May. And those 15 week terms, if they're semesters, it's a full 15 weeks, 12 credits in just one semester is not a typical workload for teachers, professors. That would be, you know, if you're a graduate teacher, that's three credits a class. That's 4 graduate classes at a time. That is unheard of all at once. Undergraduate courses, big ones tend to be 4 credits at a time. You all remember if you went to college and, or you know someone in college or you're a student, this is like your, you know, your core classes in your undergraduate, maybe it's like history 105, right? And that's a 4-credit class. That would mean that that instructor is teaching 3 of those 4-credit classes, which is also, you know, it would be assuming that their only responsibility was teaching those courses. But many professors and faculty members have different allotments of their workload time. And most professors, like at the University of Wisconsin and a lot of the schools that, you know, are pretty frequently, you know, part of our listening audience, as well as our participants as guests on here, you know, that their faculty are usually most likely under what's called a 40-40-20. 40% of their work hours of the week are spent teaching. 40% of those work hours of the week are spent on research. And 20% on what we call service, which is like serving on committees. It might be advising. It might be, you know, a community partnership. It, like for teacher educators, it might be working with local schools. But it's, you know, service work. And that rounds out your 100% of what you're doing on, you know, on the idea of it's a 40-hour work week. It never quite boils down to that for every professor listening out there. It's 40 hours. Who are you kidding? You know, we work all the time, and that's actually very true. We overwork, but that's typically, you know, a common breakdown. And then some people are full-time teaching faculty, and they teach usually 80% of their workload is teaching, which teaching isn't just the time you're in the classroom. It's preparing, it's meeting with students. Like we just talked, you know, Tim and Jacob, I'm in my classroom still late today because we had extended office hours, meet after classes. Let's talk about, you know, like, do you have missing assignments? How are you struggling as you prepare to wrap things up for finals that are coming up really quick? You know, professors do a lot of advising and meeting with their students to help different learners, you know, meet the objectives that they're expected to in the courses they teach. So when I first hear like mandatory teaching 12 credits, I think, what are you thinking? This is nuts. But I also think two sides to that coin. If that's spread out over 2 semesters, well, that's actually very, very, very manageable, very understandable.
It is not, Johnny Lupinacci. It is 12 credits a semester over the academic year. And the academic year only consists of the fall semester and what we call the spring semester. So in other words, from August until mid-December, and then somewhere in January until May. And each of those semesters is a mandatory that you carry 12 credit hours of teaching. which then amounts to 24 for the academic year. There's a couple things here, though, too, just to get, you know, for anybody who's listening to this, I get concerned, too, about what you just said, Johnny, is going, wait a minute. They're moaning about 12 hours? We work 40-hour work weeks and sometimes longer. So let's first dispel, let's get this clear. Is that what 12 hours means is 12 credit hours, meaning a 3-credit course typically, and that would be teaching 4 courses during the week. And if you're talking about a 3-credit course, it minimally has to meet for 3 hours of FaceTime. Then there's prep time, and then there's out of class time and those things like that. So this is not about faculty who are complaining about working more than 12 hours a week. Let's get that straight for everybody, okay? Again, this is classes in session, so we're teaching a little bit to the listener, right, about what does this mean? Yeah,
absolutely, Tim. And when I mentor new faculty and I talk to others about balancing workload and thinking about hours of the week, this is really helpful. And we talked about this to students too. 1 credit hour, you can expect is about 3 additional hours per 1 credit hour a week, right, of work that you have to do. And it's quite similar to teachers. It's a little bit less. I could say you could think about it's at least 2 additional hours, right, per course per week. So if you think about that 12 credits you're talking about in a semester, say, like you just said, in an academic school year, whether you're on quarters, that might be broken down differently than a semester, but typically August to December, 15 weeks of instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, that say if you have 4 3-credit-hour classes to make your 12, right? You have 3 classes. Well, each of those is going to meet for 3 credit hours or 4 if they're 4-credit-hour classes. But in addition to that, you're expected to be working at a minimum. And I say at a minimum because I've never met a good teacher who's, you know, oh, my class only takes me 45 minutes to prepare for, and the grading isn't that long. I don't really have any, you know, there's additional hours. But Tim, you just described with the 12 credit hour course load, mm-hmm. what I would say is 80% of your work week is spent on teaching. So that when I told you before, most faculty at universities are on something close to like a 40-40-20, mm-hmm. 40% teaching, 40% research, 20% service, they're most likely now being asked to be 80% teaching, 20% service. And they've sort of either, the message is either research no longer matters, but I have never heard an institution say our professors are not researching. Mm-hmm. So all these professors just add, they double their teaching work amount of time they spend having to teach. That got doubled without any adjustment to the other things that they're expected to do with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, the other expectations, and this is the way, though, too, to break this out. Now, we're talking about the University of Wisconsin system, too, and that actually then requires some other learning, which is, so what do each of those individual institutions do? What is their specialty? What is their, you know, focus? So, just taking the University of Wisconsin-Madison, that is, for everybody listening right now, that's a research institution. It is absolutely mission-driven that key research must come out of that institution, and that research is produced by the faculty that are hired to work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. And so, what you just said, Johnny, to help people understand that 40-40-20 ratio, 40% of your time teaching, 40% of your time doing research that the taxpayers are actually funding. They're funding faculty to do the research. That's their job. And so you're pointing that forward. And so you start to hear of going like, well, wait a minute, 100% teaching. Well, what about 80%? I know, but 80%. But when you're hearing this, you say, so if you're at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you're sitting there like, well, there goes my research project that I'm working on because I have to give that up now. And the reality is like, well, then that would be going against the founded mission of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which is to produce research, and that's why it's funded. And so, again, breaking this down so that people understand, you know, a workload. So that's a research-intensive university, an R1, where you might go to one of the other University of Wisconsin, say Whitewater, which is a more comprehensive public university, where there is more, where they'd say we're a teaching university. And so you might see more of that ratio tilted more maybe 60 towards teaching and 20 towards research and 20 towards service, right? It gets bumped up. But that's just to understand that. So to me, this is also the problem. This is what happens when legislators decide they're going to mandate education policy, because they have no idea what it is they're actually mandating. Actually, that's giving them way too much credit. They actually know exactly what they're mandating because they know this. And this is an attack, and it's framed as going, those lazy professors, we legislators are going to make them finally work. And the reality is we have to understand what workload is. Because I'm going to bet that if the University of Wisconsin, let's just say Madison, and Milwaukee's a research-intensive university too, if they now have to try to advertise to get the best scholar academic researchers in the country to come to their institution and say, oh yeah, by the way, all that research that you're required to do, that's on top of teaching an 80% teaching load. All of a sudden, the important research that's coming out of the University of Wisconsin system grinds to a halt. It stops. And so we need to understand the nuances, the complexities of what it means to be a faculty member. And as you said, Johnny, you know, there are people who are teaching faculty and they have a bigger teaching load. There are faculty who have a more intensive research position. And yes, I'm going to admit it right now. Some of them are only teaching 3 credit hours a semester because the other part of their time is doing original hardcore research, looking at, you know, what is the next cure for this? What is the next new way of understanding how to deploy some form of artificial intelligence? What's the best new pedagogical opportunities that we have for working with kids to close that achievement gap? If you want all that work to stop, then that's what happens when you start to think about teaching loads mandated by a legislature that is only really trying to actually create a narrative of lazy government employees who work for the state who aren't doing anything. Let's break that apart and understand, wait, no, these are faculty who, as you said, Johnny, you know, and you want to talk about a 40-hour work week? I haven't met a faculty member, whether it's at a research institution or a teaching institution, those faculty that are working their butts off, 40 hours, that's a vacation week if they're right. Okay. I rambled.
Well, and Tim, the other part that's, I think, helpful to debunking this myth, right, that this sort of attack on like the so-called lazy professor, is that even the research intensive professors that I know, and when I've been on similar contracts like that, it's not that we don't want to teach. It's that the way that we're mandated through our contract and through whatever particular research project we may be funding, usually externally funded, demands our full attention. And it's almost everyone I talk to, they miss the teaching aspect of it.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, it's not like the professors are just trying to not teach. It's usually like they're so buried and swamped in large grants or in big research projects that aren't an important part of what the role of the university is, that they are bought out often. So like their grants or their funding includes enough money to hire somebody to teach those courses that they would have been teaching. My hopes in this, Tim, is that, you know, administrators and leaders in higher ed get creative and figure out ways to, like, really, you know, shift and change as higher ed is changing to balance research with teaching. It's not always like balance doesn't need to be equal time. It's, you know, more on an equity model of like, how are the very best researchers also teaching? I'm a big fan of even administrators. Like, you were once professors, often many of you, like, teaching a course, right? Primarily what we do on campus is research and teach. So those are two, like, our, like, prized products, if I might, you know, use that metaphor. So being close to the product, I think, is really important for everybody involved. And I've never met anybody who says, oh gosh, don't give me a teaching assignment. It's usually like, oh, this is going to be so great because I love what I research so much that I get the opportunity to share it with exciting young minds. And it's always a privilege and an honor. So just debunking that myth a bit, Tim, this is exciting stuff. I agree with you. I think there's a real political agenda at work here, you know, in the midst of a culture that says, hey, we're going to cut federal funding for research. And at the same time, we're going to say, hey, you know what are these professors doing now that the funding is really cut? Let's get those you know, like you said, so-called lazy government employees working. And the least they could do is be teaching more classes, right? Like, just because the funding stopped doesn't mean that the research has stopped. And that's partly part of the problem and the adjustment that's happening. At the same time, I do think, Tim, we are going to see more faculty teaching than we're used to, just because I agree with this. In this moment of, like, really understanding changes in higher education, you know, our very best ought to be in the classrooms. And so I don't necessarily like it mandated from legislation, but then again, I don't like anything mandated from, you know, legislation. So I have a big hope that, like, faculty governance, like the leaders, like, you know, the department chairs and the deans and all the folks who are working in sort of a manager position in higher ed, much like principals do in our K-12 school, or, you know, K-12 schools or superintendent's office and things, they kind of figure out, how do we get a really great product, AKA educational experience, for our students and involve the most, you know, exciting and bright minds that we have on our campus in that process. So I think it's a call for educational leaders, you know, to be creative and not just say, okay, guess what? Now you're teaching 12, figure out how to do it all. You know, and I don't think anybody's doing that, but I like legislation out of it. Just fund it and let those organizations figure it out.
Yeah. And you know, let us kind of bring this to an end on that. I thought the last time I checked, Wisconsin was a Republican-controlled legislature. And the last time I checked Republicanism, they hated big government making decisions for people of which they have no business making their decisions for. How is it that the Republican legislature of Wisconsin then now comes around and says, you know what, deans, you know what, provosts, you know what, leaders in higher education, and you know what, faculty with PhDs in every content area there is, you guys have no business making decisions regarding higher education. That's our job. I mean, before becoming a legislator, you know, I used to pop popcorn, and that gives me so much experience when it comes to making educational decisions.
Don't knock popcorn, Tim. I that was a job I had in the past. I was a popcorn popper at a comedy club. So, and that's really where I learned most of the interesting things I talk about on this program. So, you know, don't knock it.
No, but hey, we just wanted to bring that to you. So class was in session, but now it's time for your moment of zen. So yes, they depend on our obedience. When we withdraw it, their power disappears. It's important to know that. It's important to know that every little thing we do helps.
Thanks for listening to today's class in session. If you want more Busted Pencils podcasts, just go on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always find us at civicmedia.com or on our website, bustedpencils.com. Remember, you can find great Busted Pencils content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays for class in session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, you can always tune in on Saturday and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.